I go to all this effort to pretty it up for you, and you don't even listen to it.
Wait, I remember
Prettied
the
it up
sound
for the
effects now.
viewers.
What? Mickey?
Thought you prettied it up for the viewers.
What viewers?
There's nothing here to view.
Hooray for auditory mediums.
Your mother's an auditory medium.
Your mother's not a medium anything.
Your mom's an auditorium.
The best part is Formax's uncontrolled giggling.
Well, that's what we keep him around for.
Even he's got to be good for something.
Yeah, we're just waiting to find out what.
Like all Texans.
All right, let's get the show on the road before the storm hits.
Yes.
That's what she said.
Superhero time with your hosts, XV.
Without the stick in the hole, it's not any fun.
Hey, Mickey.
Ham is the funniest meat.
Paladin.
Canada.
And Fort Max.
I forgot how I was going to open the show this week.
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan.
Well, you know what you're listening to. I'm XV, which you probably already knew from the sound of my voice. And if you can't tell me apart from these other guys, I'm incredibly insulted right now. With me, as always, I have Hey Mickey.
Just correct.
Paladin.
Yeah, hello.
Screwing up the theme. Fort Max.
Hello.
And our favorite guest, Barricade 64.
Just passing through.
And
remember
by
that.
Meaning the only guest who still returns our calls.
That's actually what I was, that's what I was about to say, exactly. The only guest who actually wants to come back.
He's the only one we've met as pathetic as us.
He's the only one who we've had on the show who actually showed up when he was supposed to.
Well, RAC showed up on time.
Did he? Thought he was
yeah.
late.
Oh, was he?
I don't know.
Well, whatever.
He'll correct me later when he listens to this. I'm sorry, it's not my fault. So we missed last week because I had no electricity. Woo!
I didn't either.
Really?
Well, briefly.
Oh. Well, I didn't have electricity for like 10 hours. And
did your outhouse work?
I was going to say, where I live, no electricity means no water. So it was a interesting, smelly day.
Did the cows work with that power?
We don't have cows. We had goats, but no cows.
No, leave your mom out of this.
No, seriously, we did used to have goats and chickens. We have a nice little pasture here. Okay, so since we didn't get to record last week, we kind of have a backlog of stuff to talk about. So, oh, Paladin, I know. There's a new dress-up item for O's. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah.
That's a pretty apt description.
Yeah, can we move on now?
Well, don't you want to tell us all the interesting details?
Well, they've been doing
every nuance of it. Every bump and wrinkle of the product.
Hey, why did I miss this show? Well, they've been doing children's roleplay suits for the various O's forms for quite a while now, and now they've finally gotten around to Shouta. And it looks even more disturbing than the combo chain Shouta.
Do you know if the whips on this Shouta dress-up take batteries?
I think those are actually inflatable.
So they expand to the size you need them to be.
Yes.
The jokes write themselves.
Exactly.
Don't you just love Japan sometimes?
Well, this is not one of those times.
I mean, here
Instead
in America,
it's loving you.
Here in America, all we get is Nerf
not
Thor's
in incredibly
hammers.
Inappropriate ways.
All we get here is Nerf Thor's hammers. In Japan, they get really phallic, suggestive children's toys that are inflatable.
Well, to be fair, we also got the Uzinator way back when.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. But I think the commercial for the Uzinator is more disturbing than the actual product.
If only somebody could combine the Uzinator with the Shouta whips.
Well, now that you've mentioned it, I'm sure some enterprising kit basher will attempt to do so. And we will be here waiting to see the results. Okay,
on
so
the edge of our seats.
If that's what you want to call it. So last show we talked about a bunch of new figure arts that were revealed through magazine scans. No more stuff has been revealed since then, has it?
Well, we've got
no,
some pics
the ones
of
we
them.
Talked about have, and some of the ones we talked about have gone up on pre-order now.
Oh, and I understand the Tajidoru add-on part set is ridiculously expensive.
And ridiculously exclusive.
Well, the two kind of go hand in hand, don't
yeah.
they?
How expensive are you talking?
Over 2,000 yen for what's just add-on parts for the Tajidoru figure arts.
That's like $25 for wings.
Yeah.
That's pretty stupid.
Wings and effect parts, I think.
And you can't even pay $20 for them.
No, you'll pay about $50 for it. Middleman markup and reshipping, and you know.
Plus whatever you have to pay to get Tajidoru itself.
Is well, Ankh exclusive, or is he normal?
I believe the new Ankh is actually mass release now.
Funky.
That's a bit of a shocker.
It still comes with the popsicles, right?
Yes, it does.
See, that's the best part right there. Little figure arts popsicles.
And cell metals, I think. But yeah, the popsicles are best.
Yeah. So, which of the figure arts we talked about last time have gone up for pre-order already?
Shouta and Warrior Leader, I believe.
You know, I gotta say, I still like the Masked Rider, the first version of that costume, better.
I'm sure they'll do that at some point.
Well, they already have. There already is a figure arts of that version.
Well, I mean, it's...
I think it was one of the first ones, wasn't it?
I'd like to see a figure arts of the original costume from the early episodes of the original series.
What's the difference?
For one, the helmet doesn't actually completely cover the head.
Are you sure that that's normal, or was it just like for the stunt suit? I mean, I saw that screenshot you posted, and you know
that is normal for the early suit design.
Oh well, you can't win them all.
Hey, it was the '70s.
It was 40 years ago, Fort Max. You should give them a little slack. Oh, that's right. The Let's Go Kamen Riders movie came out, didn't it?
And it debuted at number one.
Gee, what a shock. Or should I say shocker?
All shockers.
That would have been a good place for Paladin to do a hey-o, but I can fix that in editing.
Hey-o.
You wouldn't believe the Paladin stuff I have set aside just for occasions like that.
I would not believe you, no.
Okay, so what else is up?
Not much, actually.
So there's no, like, release information for Ryuki yet?
Not yet. We'd assume that comes out in August, based on the scans, so it probably won't go up on pre-order for a couple more months.
And it will probably cost at least 5,500 yen.
Well, with the Dragetter, is that what it's called?
Dragetter, yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah, with that, it's going to definitely show up in price.
Yes. Just like your mom on a Saturday night.
She costs 2 nickels?
Well, I was going to say like 1.03, but okay. 1.5. But no, Mickey, did you see pictures yet of the SIC series double that came out this weekend?
Absolutely not.
Oh, that's too bad. And I don't even have a link handy to show you.
Why? Is it important?
I don't know, I just thought of it.
Oh, okay. Sounds great, let's move on.
And the XL thing came out this week, didn't it?
Yep.
But we have no subs yet.
So it doesn't count yet.
Why don't we have subs? What is it about? Who's in it?
Don't ask questions.
Someone said it, at least.
Yeah, I ruined your joke on Allspark on purpose. The other one who responded to you was just stupid.
Yeah, apparently.
Sounds like the Allspark, all right.
No, we like the Allspark, sort of.
Why?
Because it's not 2005.
Or Cybertron. Or T-Formers.
Especially not Cybertron.
Speaking of Axel, has anyone taken a look at the new head that comes with Booster Form?
No.
Yeah, it's a replacement for regular Axo.
What was wrong with the first head?
Not show accurate enough.
Oh.
What?
Well, it's nice of Bandai to give you head like that, isn't it?
It's always nice when Bandai gives us head.
See, Barricade, you're going to have to become a regular so that I can use that line in a custom opening featuring you.
Well, I do have most Monday nights free.
That wasn't an invitation. Moving right along. No, I was just reflecting on how it's such a shame that that line has to go to waste.
Just attach it to Fort Max.
Just save it. If I ever become a regular host, you can use it.
Just pitch it up a little bit and no one will be able to tell the difference.
Such a shame that line has to go to waste.
I can't tell if that's more of an insult against me or against Barricade.
Yeah. We're doing our darndest to make sure Barricade doesn't ever want to come back again.
Hooray, I feel loved.
Yeah.
Your mom felt loved. Twice.
We'll send you the bill for the nickel.
See, that's the thing when we miss a week of recording the show. I just get out of the whole your mom joke groove, and the whole next week feels off somehow.
I was off in your mom's groove.
Yeah. See, that's exactly what I'm talking about. So, has there been any other news? Anything interesting or scary?
Not really.
Is there something you want us to say, but you're not saying outright?
No, I really can't think of anything.
Okay.
We can make up news.
Well, no, we're not Sabertron. Of course, they don't really make up news either. They let other people make up the news, and then they report it as fact.
They're the Fox News of Transformers.
Except they do less research.
Which one?
Yes.
Such a shame Glenn Beck's going off.
Who?
Never mind. I was baiting.
Oh, that's who.
Don't do that while we're recording.
Yes, that was every bit as suggestive as it sounded. Well, I guess if we have no more news off the top of our heads, we should move on to all the various shows we have to talk about.
What should we start with?
Well, we got 3 episodes of Gokaiger. You want to go for that?
Yeah, why the hell not?
Yo ho, me mighties, it's time for Pirate Sentai action!
Oh, now come on, it's Gokaiger. You could be a little happier than that. Especially considering what the first episode we have to talk about is.
Bitch School the Second?
Yes. Hell yes.
That's exactly what I was thinking, too, when I wasn't looking at Milfy in the maid suit.
Oh, so you watched the whole episode, not just that one scene for 30 minutes.
Yes.
The two aren't mutually exclusive.
Oh, that's right. You can have 2 windows.
Well, I mean, I have more than 30 minutes to kill watching that episode. I could watch the whole episode then.
30 minutes.
I could watch the whole episode then go back and watch that one scene over and over again for as long as it takes.
For all of 30 seconds.
On a good day, anyway.
Who the hell is rapid fire typing over there?
Paladin. I really don't want to ask what it's about either, considering the line of conversation that it started on.
Right.
So yeah, so
just use your imagination.
Please, no. Mickey.
So this episode is about someone who's actually managed to graduate from bitch school, looks like.
She had bitch tutors.
Yeah.
Bitch homeschool.
No, but really it's about a money tree.
Literally.
Yeah, that... I mean, what?
Yeah, it kind of comes out of left field and it's never really explained. You just have to accept that, you know, there's a tree that makes money.
That came
from space.
Which
means my father lied to me. It does grow on trees.
That
well, gold, but still.
Do you know how much gold is worth?
Now that Glenn Beck's off the air?
What's worth more, gold or silver right now?
Let's send it to Cash for Gold and find out.
Yeah.
Ask Yukon Cornelius.
Hold on, I'll give GameStop a call, see if they still take old Game Boy games.
Well, that's about all Pokemon Gold is good for anymore. Now that it's lost its memory.
Yeah, unfortunately, that happened to my brother's gold.
It's super effective. Wait, no, that doesn't work.
I think that happened to everybody's gold, including mine. But yeah, Money Tree from Outer Space, which the Zangek want for some reason.
Well, it's a tree that makes gold, and why wouldn't?
Well, they want it so they can buy more stuff.
But if they're this, like, you know, mighty space empire, do they even need to buy stuff? Can't they just, you know, go and conquer a planet that's rich in
stuff?
It's
not that they want it to be able to acquire more stuff, because they want to keep other people from acquiring their stuff.
Well, and plus, consider who's in charge of this fleet.
Captain Whiny Britches? Gonna have to remember that one.
Yeah. That's what I love about our show, all the fun nicknames.
Yeah, the captain of the Zangek fleet reminds me of, like, one of the kids in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Well, I think he's only there because of nepotism. I think that was explained in the first episode.
He's the Emperor's kid, though it might have been that, and it also might have been to just get him out.
So what are the odds you think we're going to see the Emperor come in to finish the series off around episode 40 or so?
Sounds about right.
I'd say that's possible.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening.
Either that or the actual somewhat competent-looking higher-ups just kill the kid.
Well, that's pretty much everyone else that's on that ship.
Yeah. And I imagine the only reason they don't just go ahead and off him is because they're afraid of his father. Either that or he's really, really strong.
You know, the whole Zangek fleet that we're dealing with right now, it's kind of like a Cobra kind of vibe going on. with the captain being Cobra Commander, and then you've got the Baroness and Destro sort of plotting behind the scenes.
Yeah, that actually does kind of work when you explain it like that.
So will the Emperor be Serpentor then?
Probably, yes.
Nice. But will he have an awkward flying chariot to ride around on?
I don't see why not.
Cool. But anyway, the highlight of the episode was Milfy in the maid outfit for like 5 minutes.
And also, for those of us not into maid outfits, the highlight of the episode, secondary, was the monster of the day, who was pretty great.
Kind of creepy looking costume, though.
But he was funny.
Yeah. Showing the downside of being able to turn invisible.
Yeah. The monsters in Gokaiger remind me a lot of the monsters in Goanger, and they all have a lot of personality to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, everything about this series is good, so the monsters would have to be too, right?
Yeah. Right. But I like when they take the throwaway monsters and actually make you care about them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get on to that for episode 8.
Yeah, definitely.
Great. What happened in episode 7? I don't remember.
That was the Geki Ranger one.
You'd think I would remember that. I like Geki Ranger.
Yes.
Does this mean that there won't be a Geki Ranger add-on for the Gokai?
Yes.
Correct.
Probably.
Ooh, now I'm worried we may not get one for Zoo Ranger.
No, we're going to get a Zoo Ranger one.
We're supposed
think
to
it'll be the Tyrannosaurus or Dragon Caesar.
It's the Tyranno. They're sharing it with Dino Thunder.
Sort of.
That's right, they do sense. Sharing.
And plus, they're also doing the Microzords, whatever they're calling it, of Daijujin. So.
Well, okay, here's the thing. One of the recent rumors for Gokaiger about the upcoming toys is that after Gao Lion, there's going to be an upgrade theme to Sun Vulcan, Jew Ranger, and then Go Ranger. And all three of those will combine with Gokaio at once to form the Sanju Gokaio, which is a horrible, horrible pun for 35.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it kind of is, but it's...
Fantastic.
It's one of those things that just makes you hurt inside.
It's just that if they made a Dragon Caesar... Then that when it became adapted over here,
we would get
a Dragonzord from Bandai, but it wouldn't be compatible with the 2010 Megazord.
No, we just would not get one. That's the joke. Anything Dragonzord, you can't have.
Because it's Bandai.
And it's the Dragonzord. The Dragonzord is forever trapped in 1993, when you couldn't buy one.
We need Time Force to bring us one.
I bet they couldn't find one either.
So, Geki Red appears to have gotten a lot saner in the years since Geki Ranger.
Well, there's no more pandas around for him to wrestle, so that might contribute to it.
He appears to have to figure out how to say a complete sentence without making animal noises, so that's a plus.
So it's been how many years?
Since, what, 2007?
So yeah, 7 or 6?
I think it was 7.
Okay.
Because I want to say 2006 was Bowcanger, because that was the previous anniversary.
No, and also we get the Jack team attack, but it's the one from before Big One shows up.
Oops.
So
they're purposely cock teasing us.
We'll get a close, big bomber no someday. Bomber. I mean, if they did a Go Ranger Hurricane with a garbage truck, we'll get a hilarious big bomber sometime.
Maybe they'll say that for the very, very end.
Well, they have to visit the Jack team at some point, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did it in episode 6.
No, the actual team or whoever was left alive.
Them. I mean, visit a member from the team.
If any are still alive.
Well,
it has
Big
been a
One
while.
Was in Gal Ranger vs. Super Sentai, so...
Okay.
So, the monster of the day for episode 7 has the best attack name ever.
Cosmic Kung Fu.
Close. Scientific Cosmic Kung Fu Railgun Blast.
Yeah.
The what attack could possibly be better than that?
The monster is a reference back to the Geki Ranger versus Bowcanger movie, too. A previous member of his family or whatever was the monster in that movie. Also using Cosmic Kung Fu.
Scientific Cosmic Kung Fu?
I don't
so
think there
was Kung Fu.
I don't think it was scientific cosmic kung fu until it got upgraded.
Yeah. He added his own new spin onto the family technique with science and railguns.
That's the best kind of kung fu.
Or was that Geki Ranger versus Goanger?
I don't think so.
I don't know, whatever. But I'm just saying it supports the idea someone had that Gokaiger, if it exists in any prior continuity properly, it would be the versus movie continuity. You know, if you want to get
they exist in my continuity.
There you go.
In your mom's continuity.
So Captain Marvelous continues to be awesome by going straight into a tiger pit.
Well, yeah, the stupid bird tells him to go find a tiger's kid, so they
he goes and starts asking the tigers.
Yeah.
He takes it kind of literally.
Just a little bit. But that's what makes him marvelous. That he'll just stand there in the zoo talking to a tiger. And the tiger doesn't
well,
do a
at
thing.
At least he knew what a tiger looked like, unlike Joe, who apparently found a leopard.
Well, they are from space, you know. I guess Marvelous is just smarter than the others. Of course, then they decide that what the bird really meant was a tiger-striped cat.
Well, of course.
Yeah. That's only logical, right?
I love this team so much.
They are the best, aren't they? Meanwhile, I'm and Doc are going to learn to not suck.
Not Doc. He decides to continue to be Doc.
Well,
Doc
has
the realization the only reason why he sucks is because he's the only one that's not trying to be better.
Yeah. Yeah, Marvelous has his weighted bracelet that he throws darts with.
He's actually wearing that bracelet again in episode 8.
I think he's been wearing that bracelet the whole time on the ship. They just explain what it does in episode 7.
I'll have to go back and rewatch those episodes.
And, you know, Melfi's up watching the stars to improve her vision.
Which makes so much sense. I can't even begin to tell you how that would help.
And Joe's just being Joe.
Yeah.
No
Joe. He's practicing being cooler.
While doing his sit-ups all the time. His hair just needs to get a little bit longer so it pulls every time he tries to do a sit-up.
That or it needs to get caught in a zipper.
No, that would be something else for it, Max. Wrong hair for it, Max.
Yeah, you don't want the hair to grow that long.
Unless you start, like, braiding it or something, I don't know.
Put in ponytails.
So yeah, Doc and I'm end up going and learning from Jan.
In a stereotypical kung fu training montage, almost.
Well, at the end of Geki Ranger, Jan did go off to wander the world and spread the ways of the Geki Juken. So, I mean, that part's consistent.
Spread the violence.
What I can't remember, though, is after the end of Geki Ranger versus Goanger, if he still was wearing the Dragon Ball like he was in this episode.
I believe he was.
I meant to go back and look that up before we talked about it, but, you know, then the power went out and it seemed like a bad time.
I am about 70% sure that he was still wearing it.
Well, if so, that's a good on him for continuity, you know. Because that'd be an easy detail to overlook when revisiting 4 years later.
Yeah.
3 years, whatever. And so instead of getting an actual mecha add-on for Gokaio, once they've learned their next Super Sentai lesson, they get the spirit form Geki Beasts.
They get CGI Blast Attack.
Yeah. Which, lame. I mean, that works when you can't actually advertise a toy that doesn't exist.
Now, is that a better or worse power-up than the dragon?
Better.
Yeah.
But still lame.
Well, it's only lame because there's no toy attached to it, and we know how badly that could have gone.
Like have a big rhino poking out of its chest.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
Oh, wait, it's always red, though. It would be a tiger.
Yeah. A tiger rhino. What? It would be the tiger riding the rhino poking out of the chest.
I'm assuming that the CGI blast attack is what they're going to use for Goanger as well.
Well, I don't know. The spirit form Geki Beasts were part of Geki Ranger. It's not something they just made up on the spot for this.
Well, but, you know, the final attack for, G6 through 12?
Well, wasn't the finisher for G12 the Energy Megazords all attacking?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would actually be a lot cooler.
I could see that happening.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, any form of that probably is what we can expect for Goanger.
Yeah.
Or maybe it shoots Marvelous's face at him.
That would be incredible. Oh my god.
Marvelous soul.
It has to be the face he uses in the opening.
Yes. When he's reaching for the key.
Erase yep. Face attack?
No, that's Revoltech Woody. Which is every bit as disturbing as it sounds. Gave your mom a Revoltech Woody.
She died.
So, episode 8?
Okay, so, moving on to 8.
8.
8 starts off with the Zangek profiling each of the Gokaigers.
And they completely diss Don.
Like everybody else does.
But yes, and Joe used the interesting thing, Joe used to be with commanders for the Zangak, which...
I'm sure they'll get to that backstory in a later episode.
Yeah, so he...
Same how on so planet... Cool,
he used to be evil.
Sounds about right.
And I'm is basically Princess Leia.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Except she didn't live on planet Colorado. With Jimmy
Smith. Her hairstyle makes more sense.
And she probably won't look as bad when she gets older.
And I don't think she's got a coke problem either.
Well, that would probably go to why Carrie Fisher looks so bad now. Of course, I don't know, you don't really ever see old Japanese AV stars, do you?
Well, I don't.
They just kind of cease to exist at some point. Probably working at Japanese McDonald's or something.
Show.
What?
I don't really go after they finish their Sentai show.
Or their masked writers.
Yeah. Well, they're on a mask rider show. They'll show up next season as a different character.
Mickey?
If they're a mask rider, they show up next season as a different character.
Yeah, sometimes. Or sometimes several years later. What were you saying, Paladin?
Is there a Japanese equivalent of Soylent Green?
Well, not yet, but give them time.
Soylent Midori?
Yeah, okay. Oh, and we
so
found
we
out
the two best monsters in the series
to date.
It's a particularly creative monster.
Yeah. Yeah. One's an actual suit, and the other's one of those Madball things you can find in a 99-cent aisle in a Walmart.
Well, the interesting thing about the suit monster is that the whole person is just kind of an afterthought to the rest of the monster.
Well, yeah, I think it's some kind of puppet for the other thing to be mobile with.
I don't think I've ever seen a monster design quite like that before.
No, maybe not. We also get some personality out of the dump troops in this episode.
Yeah.
We're all standing around board waiting for him to actually hit the friggin' ship with the little guy.
And then also constantly having to keep him from diving in after him.
Yeah. Also, it's funny that they point out that Gokai Galleon is shielded from the Zangax radar, even though it's this giant floating ship in the sky.
Well, you know, that'd be easy to miss.
It's part of their attention to detail.
I guess. But yeah, it was great when the bigger monster was throwing the baseball monster over and over and couldn't hit the ship. Yeah, these really were the best monsters so far in the series.
Of course, the little monster decides to play Solid Snake.
Well, I think that was the point all along.
I didn't see any cardboard boxes.
Actually, there was one.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah, he hid in
the box.
The
donut box doesn't count.
What?
The donut box doesn't count.
Hey, it's cardboard. Now I want a donut.
So do I.
And some cake.
We'll get to cake later.
Yeah, we'll talk about the cake in a little bit.
I like how they had the sign keep popping up to point out where the monster was hiding.
As if you couldn't tell.
Because kids are dumb.
Yes.
Like a lie.
That's true, kids are very stupid.
Yeah, but kids in Japan are supposed to be slightly smarter. Or at least they treat them that way.
I think kids everywhere except for America are smart.
All full access security passes to everything.
Plus, besides, America has the dumbest kids in the world.
Toys.
But yeah, little monster ball things hiding all over the place.
And all the while, they can't find Navi. Where has Navi gone?
Dumb bird. Of course, then Navi comes back.
With a nice new outfit, too.
Yeah,
this was such
Navi's
a great
been
episode.
Hanging out with Queen and what's her name from Double?
Elizabeth?
Yes.
Yeah. This really was a great episode.
I didn't know better. I think they were advertising the movie Rio.
Ugh. I'm going to go on record and just call it for, you know, Navi being the best mascot character ever.
What about Bomper?
She's better than Bomper.
Because she's a bird.
There's something about Navi I just find completely charming and adorable.
Maybe it's the way everybody else disrespects her.
I think it's just the voice and the animatronics going on.
Maybe. Well, she hurts herself every time she has to make a prophecy.
Yeah.
And this week's prophecy is look for an island in the sky.
Gee, that I can't figure out what that could possibly be.
They're going to Beast Wars.
See, if she had gone to go find an island in the stream, we know they're going to Pigeon Forge.
Local jokes.
I like how they come up with the best solution for it, too. We'll just circle the planet a few times and see what we find.
Sure. But we're skipping...
That's not a bad idea, because the floating island's probably going to stick out.
I don't know, the big floating pirate ship doesn't.
Well, they have cloaking devices.
We're missing the best part, though, that we haven't already talked about, which is the Megazord fight.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. The Gokai bat.
Yes. Because, you know, the two monsters, their special attack is the big one throwing the little one like a ball to bounce all over the place and hit the Gokaijers. Which works at big size, too. Of course, I think after they grew the monsters, they should have had the Gokaijers on the ground with the little one being the same size as them.
I mean, it would have worked.
It would have been a fun sight gag for a minute. But yeah, the bigger monster throws the small one, and the Gokaijers do a home run.
He's blasting off again.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
They should release that bat as a Tamashii web exclusive.
I bet they will. And it really just makes me want a retro fire Gokaio.
Well, you got about 2 years before that even happens.
Yeah, that's not really helping me any.
Maybe we'll get lucky and get a Solitude Goken one.
I don't want that. Less metal. Less. Have they even released Sun Vulcan Robo yet?
Just Shinkeno, I think.
Yeah, so see, that probably wouldn't even help Gokaio's case any. Damn it. So yeah, they're off to circle the planet a few times until they find a flying island. I bet you they find it by next week.
I wonder what'll be on that island.
Strippers?
Hell yes. Good call.
Yeah.
Better than what I would have come up with.
Why? What were you going to come up with?
Yeah, never mind.
Okay, then.
They just have to follow the sound of Princess Shayla.
That's the sound you want to run away from.
Yeah.
Isn't that like the thing in Greek mythology where the song would cross the Gokaia galleon to crash on the island?
No, because in Greek mythology that sound is supposed to be alluring, not repelling.
Well, maybe in this case it's confusing and it makes them hurt themselves in their confusion. Well, that was 3 weeks of Gokaiger. What a great show.
Gal Ranger.
Huh?
Next week is Gal Ranger.
Yeah. Which also means a new toy.
And a returning Red Ranger.
But not the same one we got returning in Samurai. So, I guess we could do O's next.
Okay.
Hamburger, potato, drink! Hapo do, hapo do, hapo do!
27? 28?
Well, there goes Mickey.
He just did 27, the first half of the movie thing.
Oh.
Okay, so we're 28 then.
Wasn't 26 the first half of the movie thing?
No, 27.
Was that 29 that got released this week? Okay.
Yeah.
Very well, I'll let you proceed. I'll allow it. So,
we 27... start off with the 1,000th episode of Kamen Rider.
Woo!
Of course, the introduction to the episode is a little bit misleading because it has not actually been on the air constantly since 1971, like they imply.
Well, we know about it.
But yeah, 1,000 episodes. How about that? How many episodes does Super Sentai have, though?
Probably more than that.
Probably.
So Kogami decides to watch every episode of Kamen Rider ever at once?
Or at least all the fight scenes.
At the same time.
Yeah.
And apparently this is some universe where Rider-Man had his own series.
Again, because he's Kogami.
Well, in all the team-ups, Rider-Man's treated like a primary writer, so...
Yes, but they show him having his own opening.
Okay, I wasn't looking at it that closely. I mean, after all, there were so many screens to watch.
That's good eyes there, Fort Max.
Well, I mean, if it's a world where they were all TV shows and yet somehow still real anyway, it kind of makes sense.
I really hope these episodes are in canon.
Yeah, I was kind of waiting for some reference to that in 29, but anyway.
AG kills the second parrot yummy and Date gets really hurt.
For like 5 minutes.
Yeah, because he's Date.
Fortunately, Date comes back just in time to do the coolest thing Date's ever done.
To date.
Well, that
the O's noise.
Tatoba, Tatoba, Tatoba!
Yeah. Date sings the belt song. Twice.
Oh, once and a half. Maki shuts him up.
Well. But yeah, that was the best part.
Date really is a pretty fantastic character.
Yeah, I know. I want him to stay around for the whole series now. Which, at this rate, it looks like he's going to.
Hopefully.
And Kogami messing with Ankh is also up there for one of the best moments.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He told it as a dark helmet fooled you on him.
Rick Moranis is Kogami?
Yes. Absolutely.
And then the Shocker Mooks, Hairy Balls form previous Rider generic enemies.
Yes.
All yeah. I recognized from that, though, was the worms. What were the others?
There's a Masquerade DuPont.
I'm surprised there weren't any Mole Imogen. Those ended up getting treated as generics, too.
Well, they're saving those for the movie.
I don't think there are any of those in the movie.
Yeah, there are. The crossover movie with Deno starts out with him fighting a Mole Imogen.
Oh.
But
yeah,
we also see the birth of the Claw Scorpion.
Yeah, which costs 1,000 cell metals.
That's a horrible design choice.
Assuming
and
over time translates
yen
the number
in CGI.
But it does give Oz his own Taste the Rainbow attack.
Once he rapes it into submission with the Shouta tentacles.
Best line of the night.
I love how those Shouta tentacles get so much use.
So can Oz's next form have a fleshlight?
I don't see why not.
I don't think I'd want to see a dinosaur-shaped fleshlight.
So what, you never visit your mom?
Maybe he'll have some type of piston device.
Yeah, I didn't recognize, like, the guys in the paintball outfits or anything.
I didn't either.
But then not a lot of Rider series.
Well, those
series...
were from one of the older series. Stronger, maybe?
Not a lot of the newer series have foot soldiers like that.
Yeah, but it's from one of the later of the older series. It's like maybe Stronger. It may have been...
Stronger is not that later.
No, the later of the original series.
Yeah, but wasn't Stronger, like, 80?
Not sure, but it was from either Stronger or maybe Super 1.
Did X have foot soldiers?
It had Starfish Hitler.
They looked like Shocker Troopers without the skeleton design, so...
Well, that's kind of dull.
Black.
Speaking of Shocker Troopers, those two... that decided to quit were probably the best yummies.
Yeah, what was up with them?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Who the hell is Susan Boyle?
Had kanji for 1,000 to number something.
Yeah, I didn't get the Susan Boyle thing either.
Actually, speaking of Shocker Troopers, what's up with the fat one?
Which one was that again?
It was one of the first three that showed up, and one of them was like wearing a fat suit or something.
Beats me. See, this was worse than Decade, because with Decade, you didn't really need to know anything about the stuff it was referencing. But with this, there's all these old references that we just don't follow.
Well, I think it's more that most of them are puns, but some of the early Kamen Rider episodes, the guys who were the Shocker soldiers just looked like whoever was they had available at the time.
So, kind of like the putties? Just whatever stunt guys weren't doing something else at the moment?
Yeah.
It's possible. I can see that as part of the joke.
Oh, we got to see Goto as a rock.
They were really mean to Goto in these episodes.
They were.
But aren't they?
Until he finally found a way to play to his strengths.
Yes. He turned his head into a rock and hit someone with it.
Go to headbutt.
And he also...
super effective.
Yeah.
Your opponent flinched and couldn't move.
And he managed to finally put a ridiculous strength to use for once.
Yes.
Finally.
And probably never again.
Of course not. It's Japan and she's female.
Right. Maybe if there's like a really heavy coffee cup around somewhere.
Yeah, she just needs to stick to serving food.
So, in the end, the movie gets made, I guess.
And the Mook decides to support the Riders until they beat all their enemies, except for Shocker.
Well, just so Shocker can defeat the Riders like it's supposed to be.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Of course, Kazali got a good line in there, too, that Shocker is so last century.
Something Kazali would say.
Apparently he missed, you know, like, Die Shocker and everything during Decade.
Oh, he was busy then.
Yeah, he was kind of, like, in a box somewhere. As happens to cats.
Was he dead or alive?
Nice. So anyway, episode 29.
AG's finally trying to figure out why Ankh can't regenerate anymore.
And we finally get more cake.
And you know what? It Ankh thinks he's a Thundercat.
And it's Dr. Maki's birthday. And he seems so thrilled about it, too.
And it seems like, and also get some more backstory on him where it seems his sister died in a fire.
Or at least a doll burned up in a fire.
Anyone want to take a bet that he caused the fire?
Probably.
What the heck is wrong with your sound, Barricade? It's all tinny.
The doll can blow out candles.
Yeah, that was good. Gave Satanaka something to do.
Yeah, I guess Satanaka realized it was up, so she was deliberately testing it by covering her eyes.
And then just sticking the lighter in the doll's face.
Everybody thinks that doll is weird.
Michael Satanaka is so practical about everything. It's like she sees through the weird stuff of the show. It's like, no, wait a sec, something's weird here. And no one else realizes it.
I don't know, she acts pretty serious.
Plus, tormenting Maki by doing stuff with the doll is always fun.
Yeah. That is true. He does freak out about it so easily.
Well, it's always got left of his sister.
He needs to make, like, a doll candroid. I don't know what special ability it would have, but he needs to do that.
It would have the ability to freak your opponent out.
I think the helicopters are back.
Yeah, they
are. Been.
Well, no, we hear him, too, but there's also the helicopter noise.
Worse than usual.
So, Kogami knows about Dr. Maki's arrangement with Kazali.
As a birthday present, Kogami gives him a warning.
Yeah, just don't do that. Yeah, Kogami lets Dr. Maki know that desire is great, but Kogami's desire is more important than everybody else's desire. And if you screw with that, something bad's going to happen to you.
He will destroy you.
Of course,
very likely. Yeah. He will turn you into a cake. So when Maki calls Kazali to break off their arrangement, Kazali spawns a yummy off him.
And
the yummy is exciting.
And this yummy is nightmare fuel.
Mickey, what were you saying?
I'm saying I bet sex with Kogami is exciting.
No, it's Tsubashi.
Because he'd be shouting and making weird bug eyes at you and like raising and lowering the volume of his voice randomly.
And doing that Thundercat thing.
Yeah.
That was just weird.
Even for him.
But yeah, that was one...
Excited for the new cartoon.
That was one freaky yummy.
That yummy was adorable.
Except for the orca hand.
It just wants to be loved.
And the human face in the eye.
What I want to know is, was it actually killing those women it was hugging to death?
Well, we heard the sound of their spines and rib cages snapping, so yes.
And Maki's
checking.
Base desire is the end of things, so I think the yummy killing
no, it's
people
not.
Makes sense.
You cannot call something as that a desire.
Now, Maki's desire is to be loved.
Yeah. Specifically with a replacement for his sister. But that doesn't really seem to be working out so well right now. What with the spines and rib cages and everything. And then Maki, realizing he needs to go and stop this himself, drives up in his cool little Volkswagen and throws candroids at it.
Yeah, apparently he's packing some candroids in that coat.
Including the Petra cans.
Terra.
Yeah, Terra cans.
Oh, that's
Petra. Petra.
I've got Thunder over here, so...
Do you?
Yeah.
Close?
Not yet, but...
No, those are helicopters.
Helicopters?
Like, no, they're petrocopters.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, Maki still can't be as badass as Satanaka with the sawed-off shotguns on the motorcycle at one time. He wouldn't make a good ride vendor.
That's what I'm saying. Satanaka's practical. She knows to show up here.
Well, of course. He's not dead.
And since he actually has a name, he can't die either. But, yeah, But then after all this, then the really important stuff in the episode happens.
Yes, Oz has to fight evil Jetman.
Well, also, well, yes. And, well, also, Goto is now Satanaka's assistant.
Number two at eating cakes.
Lucky bastard.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the other ride vendor that tried to fill that job that one time didn't make it.
Yeah, we never heard from him again either, so...
Yeah, but that was just him alone.
I think he caked himself to death.
Cakedality?
But yes, back to him, the important things.
Yeah, because Ollie knows something's up, and he's doing the same thing that, Ankh's been doing, following the feathers.
Yeah. And then, what do you know, they actually find where the feathers came from.
Amazingly, they didn't try to prolong it out anymore.
Actually, well, no, that's what like the next episode found where the feathers were coming from.
No?
Did you see any red feathers on that costume?
Well, it's symbolic.
Oh, okay. I see.
Either that or all the feathers came off by now.
Well, look how many fell right before he appeared.
Yeah, he was molting.
Oh, so he just molted them all at once, so we never got to see them on him.
Yes, and of course, Ankh is saying that, and of course, Ankh sees that, it's him. But Ankh, and of course, Ankh disagrees, saying that, no, it's him.
Yeah.
I am he as he is me.
Yeah. As you are me and we are all together.
Red is blue.
I really hope they explain how the arm thing happened.
They probably will.
That seems a little peculiar, especially now.
Well, it looks like it's going to be mentioned or discussed some between, almost full Ankh and Kazoli. And also, the full body Ankh sounds like a little kid.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely
from him.
And also has noticeable amounts of purple.
I think he's a few medals short of a whole greed.
Is anyone else kind of disappointed by what real Ankh looks like?
Maybe a little.
But also, I'm wondering if real Ankh might have a few of the Dino core medals.
Well, I mean, what did you want real Ankh to look like?
I don't know. I feel a little underwhelmed by this design.
Well, his designs fits in with the other greed.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. This isn't quite as awesome as I was expecting, I guess.
Maybe it would look better if it was a complete suit instead of partly purple.
Possibly, but it kind of reminds me of Kazali a little bit, where it's competent, but it's not really exciting.
Better than Uva.
See, Uva looks cool, though. His character's boring.
Speaking of which, where is Uva?
Who cares?
He's made another yummy and is feasting on cell metals right now.
Maybe.
And yeah.
Maybe he's just off being dull somewhere.
If Lefty or whoever the f*** that is actually is purple, maybe that's connected to the upcoming dinosaur metals somehow.
Well, I said that already.
I just see the purple as, like, where the normal Ankh would be. And that those are just the missing parts of him.
Except that he's covering the head, too, though.
Actually, I kind of like the idea that it is a dinosaur greed or something with a bunch of Ankh's medals. And that it's not actually the real Ankh.
Or possibly the previous O's.
Right.
I don't see anything to indicate that other than just base speculation, though.
Maybe we'll find out with the next episode.
Ah ha ha.
Well, whatever. Something will happen in the next episode. It looks like we're in for some exposition.
It's been a while since we've had some of that.
Yeah, I think the last time was when Kogami was explaining how the greed were created in the first place.
It's been what? 10 episodes at least since that?
12, I think, yeah.
Well, they gotta drag the show out to 49 episodes.
Or 50. Hmm. Or 47 on a bad year.
No, or 30 on a decade year. Decade at least.
Well, the decade was just to offset the schedule so that the Sentai and the Rider series wouldn't be starting at the same time anymore.
I like how they thought that was more important than having a show tell a complete story.
Well, that's what the movie's for.
Screw what you're trying to do here with your plot and your art.
Decade had a
plot. We need you to finish up early so we can stagger these shows.
Okay, so should we move on to Samurai now?
If we must.
Yes, I suppose we should.
Samurai Forever.
Now we had some more night shots in this episode.
It's always nice to get those.
Yeah, whatever.
And we get the puffball things that are in the ship that, what the heck are those?
Yeah, those things.
Yeah. Is Master Zandred this whiny in Shinkenger as well?
Well, he's not talking about medicine in Shinkenger. He wants Saki? His booze. He wants his booze in Shinkenger.
I expected as much.
We knew they were going to censor that.
He's a lot better as a passing out drunk. Right, Mickey?
Huh?
Exactly.
Does he actually become more of a credible villain, more of a threat?
He's pretty much the same start to finish.
Eh.
Is it a climax?
No, not like that.
No.
The right color, though.
Going there with Juzo, anyway.
Yeah, I'm not really sure if they're capturing that either.
Well, it's a little too early to tell for that.
Yeah.
But we did get another example of how shamelessly they're copy and pasting from Shinkenger.
Well, I didn't think we needed more examples of that.
But we're going to keep getting them.
Yeah, it seems like.
Was there someone in Shinkenger who fell in love with Shinken Pink?
No, the Bulk and Spike stuff is all new.
I'm not liking how Bulk didn't go fight the monsters, but that's just because I recently rewatched Linkar's History of Power Rangers on Space.
Yeah, I mean, he had an umbrella and everything. That should have been plenty to fight those off with.
Yeah.
Maybe he was just hungry.
Well, I did like that when they first went to go run after the Moogers, Spike took a bite out of one of his loaves of bread. See,
Spike
reminds me
a lot of Genta.
I think we need more of Bulk and Spike in the show, just so it'll be more different from Shinkenger.
Well, aren't we going to be getting a Bulk-centric episode?
That's part of the rumor, anyway.
Someone should ask Paul Schreier on Twitter.
Speaking of which, he's been talking about a lot about how he's going back to New Zealand, so apparently he did actually go there.
And Felix Ryan, too. So yeah, I guess they're getting flown up and back all the time.
I
was going to say, I wonder how much of the show's budget they're blowing on moving them back and forth like that.
Well, they probably didn't spend it on writing, so that must be where they cut the corners.
Oh, and they did the same thing with Tommy.
Yeah, but I think he was in New Zealand for longer stretches of time.
And away for longer stretches of time.
Yeah, but I mean, they weren't flying him up and back every other week, you know. Which is what seems like is happening here.
Helicopters are getting even louder.
Yeah, I think that's the sound of his router.
Sorry, I don't know what to do about that. I'm on a Mac, I can't fix it.
Wang, why would routers make that noise?
The radio transmission for the wireless.
I guess I gotta try shutting the wireless part off.
Won't that kill the Xbox's internet?
No, because it's wired.
Oh.
I'll try that next week, see what happens.
So, besides Spike getting a crush on Pink, did anything actually happen in this episode?
Yes, it turns out Jaden's last name is Sheba.
That's believable.
Yeah.
Was that scene ripped from Shinkenger with the flashback? Because he used the Shoto phone as a brush.
Yeah, that was from the Shinkanger source footage.
Thought so, because they haven't been doing the brush in the show.
No, they've just been doing the motions with the cell phone. As if there's a difference.
There is in toy releases, but for what passes for story, there isn't really.
I can't wait till we get our equivalent of Genta.
I just hope it turns out better.
I kind of hope it's not Spike.
It's not Spike. I mean, we know there's another actor and
unless they're pulling a swerve. They've already surprised us twice already with the show.
No, they're not that creative to mislead us like that.
Well, they surprised with Bulk and Medina.
Right, but there wasn't anybody else cast in those roles yet.
But yeah, I think they've decided that, well, remember, they're wanting to go back to things like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers in the earlier seasons, such as last minute
casting
changes.
So Gold is
going to
be Jason Frank?
What?
Maybe they just couldn't afford him.
I was saying if they want to do 93 over again, is Gold going to be Jason Frank?
I'd be okay with that.
or some other dude we'd never heard about.
Well, that is kind
of Adam again.
It'll be Prince Dex.
Does anybody else remember when the rumors were going around that Adam was going to be the Purple Ranger in Jungle Fury?
No, I don't remember that.
Maybe you weren't paying attention.
That's actually pretty much before I was into the whole scene, so yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, Goanger was a good way to get into stuff. Stop that!
What?
Whatever.
So I'm assuming the samurai equivalent is also a two-parter?
Yes.
Well, it did say to be continued.
Just not next week.
Isn't it?
I'm just assuming they'd pull something stupid and skip to a different episode.
No, I think we're getting an episode next week.
But would it be the continuation of this episode next week?
No,
it
probably
would be,
not.
It would be the second of the first two episodes.
So it'll be like on Fox Kids during Turbo.
Or on Fox Kids during Ever.
But especially during Turbo, it was common for episodes to be aired out of order. In fact, it was more common than them being aired in order.
It was just Turbo, though. No one cared.
Yeah, well.
I'm kind of feeling
the same way with Samurai. I just don't care.
Well,
stuff's happening.
The kiddies do.
So far.
Toy sales indicate they do, at least in my area.
Well, that's good.
And the ratings are consistently up for this.
Of course, toy sales in my area are non-existent because nobody's carrying the toys here.
Plus, no one lives in your area either.
Well, it is
I
the
do.
South.
You just need this to last for them to make something good out of Ghost Ager.
On the other hand, if Ghost Ager ends up like Shinkanger, it'll be the same
be
series all over again.
It could still be better.
Well, yeah, it'll have a different cast, probably.
Well, there's no way they're going
to
find anyone else.
I think the main thing is going to be, okay, do they still have, well, I think the main thing that will be is, okay, are they going to keep the executive producer? If they are, we're going to be getting Ghost Ager.
Maybe they should get Bruce Kalish back.
The thing is, even if we get Ghost Ager again,
get Judd Lynn back.
They're going to cut out all the Angel stuff. That will never work in America, so.
But it won't make the show any better.
But there'll be some changes, at least.
Well, I guess we'll see next year.
We can only hope.
Maybe.
It's possible they'll pull a Mighty Morphin Season 2, just take the Zords, but keep the Samurai suits.
Yes.
And use the toys to have the Shinken, the Samurai Zords change it to the Ghost Ager Zords.
Yep. Yeah, instead of the headers attaching to airplanes and giant dump trucks, the headers will just fly in and attach to the existing Zords and turn them into the new ones.
No, they'll just be doing stop motion with the American toys. and just have them flash from one to the other.
Exactly.
That would be so great.
Some, add some, and for one of the swords, add some extra legs or something.
Yeah.
They should have Mega Ghost Rangers.
And then, of course, for like half the season, the Rangers and the monsters wouldn't be in the same shot together.
They just cut and paste like they did with Leopardon.
Well, they probably will actually have most of the suits anyway.
Fort Max, you are ruining the joke. Because, you know, in season 2, they couldn't have most of the monster and Rangers together.
Yes.
Damn it, Fort Max. Okay, well, let's take a break, because this has been going for over an hour already. That's what happens when we miss a week.
Previously.
Whatever. We'll take a break. Paladin has a review of something, and then we'll talk about... Go on, Jer.
Whoopee!
We paid your mom a nickel to listen to Superhero Time. She died.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna, and do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record, news, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, you're on the Street Fighter 3.
It's Betty, Betty, Betty. Ai, 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 ai. Zoldon, o que que há no globo visualizador?
É o futuro que está vendo, Alpha. É o Ranger Branco.
Over 3,000 photos. More than a dozen different toy lines. 6 cameras. How do you measure 5 years? FigureReviews.com brings you in-depth reviews and the best toy photography online. Join RAC and XV for quality toy reviews, photography, and just plain awesome. FigureReviews.com.
Superhero Time, where your mom jokes go to die.
Welcome back to Paladin's Place, preferred provider of mechanized melee.
Mechazord sequence has been initiated!
Rangers, form high-octane Megazord!
In 2009, during the initial run of Power Rangers RPM, fans were treated to a surprising new subline of Megazord-based action figures. This Retrofire series featured artistically detailed non-transforming Megazords from various Ranger shows, including the primary mecha from RPM, or Go Andra if you prefer, the high-octane Megazord. The first thing most people will notice in this action figure series is the design change. Retrofires feature a more stylized appearance as opposed to the blocky attack suits used in Sentai footage. If the often-rumored Power Rangers animated series had ever actually developed, I imagine their Megazords would have looked similar to this, which is not necessarily a bad point. Another arguable negative feature in this series is the lack of transformable components, but while I would agree to that problem in some cases, I don't really think it's a big loss with High Octane. After all, the individual Go-Andra machines weren't exactly fantastic toys. Retrofire Octane's paint and plastic qualities are pretty decent for the $13 price tag. Articulation is only somewhat impressive. High Octane features joints in his legs, neck, and waist, though I must admit the lower body movement can be somewhat hampered by the hip armor plates. And finally, arm movement is limited to only one arm. This is a dominant characteristic in each Retrofire release, presumably as a cost-cutting or time-saving movement by Bandai. It's pretty disappointing, but I don't consider the lack of movement in one arm to be a completely deal-breaking problem for the series. High Octane Megazord carries his trademark Street Saber in this release, and here it actually looks like a saber as opposed to the fold-up butter knife that came with the deluxe release. The defense shield is included too, and while it doesn't do much in this version either, it's nice to see that the full complement of weapons is available. Finally, all of the Retrofires, including High Octane, came with combat stands to maintain action poses while on the shelf. Overall, I'd say Retrofire High Octane is definitely worth the sticker price, at least. It's a pretty fun toy and represents what would have been an interesting new perspective concerning Megazord releases. But unfortunately, this Retro Fire series apparently ended up as a failure. Most stores never progressed beyond the initial wave of figures, and a handful of designs supposedly vanished without entering regular production runs. At least that's what we all thought, until Bandai showed off some new Retro Fire molds at this year's Toy Fair show. And in an even more shocking revelation, Bandai actually released the new Retro Fires very soon after their unveiling. Who knew? So with any luck, there should be another wave of Retro Fire Megazords in your local Toys R Us right now. So go pick them up, and I'll talk to you on the next edition of Superhero Time.
And now back to action with Superhero Time.
Let's go on.
To the black helicopters.
No, I mean, let's go on.
And on and on and on.
Damn it, Mickey, that's your cue.
Well, my cue to do what?
I don't know, something go on, sure.
Should I sing?
Yes.
Sure.
Engine number one? No? Okay.
That's not, that didn't sound like singing.
Go on, Wings?
Don't mind the song.
Well, anyway, for Twitter Theater 2 weeks ago, I can't help it that the power went out last week and you guys didn't want to do a show on your own. Although I would love to listen to the result of that.
No, you wouldn't. Because you'd have to edit it.
Yeah, but I wouldn't mind listening through the whole thing to edit it because I wouldn't have listened to it the first time when it was being recorded.
We'd just be talking about you the whole time.
Well, see, that would be interesting and different. Yeah, see, next time I can't make the show, you need to grab Barricade and the four of you do the show yourselves. You know, Mickey would do the hosting. Fort Max can record it. And then later on I will edit the nightmare. It'd be perfect. Who knows, it might turn out so good that I would never need to actually participate in the show again. So anyway, for Twitter Theater, previously, we selected an episode
previously
of...
Previously on X-Men.
Yeah. Gene!
Gene!
Scorpions.
Yeah, the new X-Men anime is great, simply because 30 seconds in... Gene!
So, we haven't actually watched an episode of Go Onger before for your theater, have we?
Which is a crime, because Go Onger is the best show ever.
Well,
Go Onger is pretty
great. Worst show ever. It balances out.
What? What did Fort Max just say?
We're the worst show ever. So.
Oh, okay. We're the worst show ever. All right, I thought you were saying Go Onger was the worst show ever, in which case I would have to come to Texas and kill you.
Even that's not worth entering Texas.
I guess Fort Max has to leave Texas at some point. What?
What?
There's lots of good Mexican food there.
Yeah.
It's worth entering for.
And salsa, too. I love Texas-style salsa. It's the only kind that doesn't taste sweet. Oh, so anyway, so we finally got around to watching an episode of Go Onger, and I wanted to pick the goofiest one I could think of, which, of course...
The body switch episode.
Had to be Sosuke Bonky.
Yep. And it's one of the best episodes of the show, I think.
So, Mickey, why don't you tell us about that?
Well, Sosuke, who is Go On Red, has the flu, apparently.
So is it like the bird flu or the swine flu or the engine flu? What is
it? It's the engine flu.
Wouldn't it be the condor
flu? On occasions, you see a Sentai team member actually have a cold.
Well, there was Kimberly a couple weeks ago.
Well, that's the only other time I can remember that happening.
Yeah. So
why do they live in a camper van?
Because the wings are dicks and won't let them move in the house with them?
Yeah, they just sort of start off living in the trailer, and that just never changes.
Yes, they're always busy with the Ground Outdoor Operational Network General Purpose Explorational Rover.
Well done.
I can't even remember that one.
The bigger question is how they afford gas, or why do they keep eating eggs nonstop throughout the entire series?
I think you just answered your own questions. They afford gas because they buy nothing but eggs to eat. And they buy nothing but eggs to eat because that's all they have left after they buy gas. Well, you know, they seem to have that TARDIS attachment on the back end of the Ginjiro. So they probably get power from that and don't have to buy gas.
Yeah. It is a little bigger on the inside.
Well, just in back. I mean, there's times when you actually see the inside of the actual van itself when they're driving around. So, yeah, I mean, the front end is normal. There's just, like, this curtain doorway on the back when they go into the...
So, it's like your mom where it's bigger in the back.
No, it's kind of like the Car Ranger garage.
I don't know. I haven't watched Car Ranger. So, anyway, okay, Sasuke has a cold.
Yeah.
A flu,
whatever. So he's at home chilling out while the other four Goanjas are out there practicing to show him how good they've gotten while he was being sick and lazy.
Yeah, but he's still red, so he's still going to be better than all of them put together.
Yes. And so, even though he's sick... When the generator Bonky shows up to cause trouble, he goes to fight it on his own.
Well, that's why he's red.
Yes.
I think it's the fever, actually.
And so he gets struck by the generator Bonky's lightning, and ta-da, they switch minds. And hilarity begins.
Of course, they try to the other Goanjers try to make his cold better.
With all the various... folk remedies they have.
Yeah.
See, the wonderful thing about Goanjer is that all five of the main cast members are all pretty insane in their own ways. There's really not one of them that's completely grounded.
So no, it's not really. Like RPM in a way.
No, not at all.
Different kind of insane.
Yeah.
In RPM, the only ones who are really insane are Gold and Silver.
Yeah, and the other ones have got issues. But no, and Goanjer, there's all something kind of wrong with their brains.
And we leave the fate of the world to them.
Wrong in the entertaining way, not wrong in the what the f*** is wrong with these guys, Go-Sager way.
Yes. Because, you know, the Goanjers, unlike the Go-Sagers, they're competent, they get the job done. Mm-hmm. They don't screw things up.
And they're also not painful to look at.
Yes.
Right.
And they understand the situation, usually.
Well, you know, before there was the neck and the ears, there was Gunpei's forehead.
Gunpei's forehead is pretty impressive. It's one of the seven natural wonders of the world.
So who do you think had the best cold remedy?
Well, obviously Gunpei. He's the one that got shirtless.
Yes, because he believes that the best remedy for a cold is a shirtless rubdown.
I'm okay with that. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but...
I don't know. I kind of liked Ren's soup idea.
You didn't care for Hanto's wrap a bunch of leaves around your neck?
Well, I just prefer garlic. I never bought into the aromatherapy thing either.
Well, actually...
Unless it's the aroma of garlic.
Well, I think with the aromatherapy thing, it's more that someone was wanting their fan fiction to come real. I'm what with the... shirtless rubdown that was going on right there.
That's just horrifying enough to
Fort Max. Now I've got the image of Saki writing Gunpei / Sosuke fanfiction. Well done.
So finally the Sosuke has enough to go under madness. And runs up to attack like his lightning attacks. Which he doesn't have any issues.
And he attacks by nipple tweaking himself.
Yes.
Sosuke's not going to be very happy when he gets back in his own body. Speaking of which, where is Sosuke?
Well, Sosuke's off hanging out with the Gaiarks.
Fun.
And sadly, they're not drinking this episode.
Aw. I'm sure he could have done with a... I'm sure he could have done with a drink at this point.
How can you not love the Gaiarks? They get drunk.
And it shows. You know, it's just too bad Hiramekamedes hadn't shown up when they did this episode.
Yeah, this was fairly early in the series, wasn't it?
Yeah.
12, I think.
Yeah.
I recognize that because they only had about half the Zords.
Yeah. Yeah, G6 was your biggest combination. So Sasuke gets the great idea to try to kill Yogostein while he's, you know, up close and Yogostein's guard is down.
Which isn't actually a bad plan.
Except that he wanted to do it by hitting him with a wrench.
Which is a bad plan.
Points for trying, though.
See, points to Sasuke for realizing that, you know, let's make the best of this and, like, see an opportunity here.
That's why he's not a Ghost-Ager.
Of course. Yeah, of course, instead of a wrench, should have used a crowbar. You bash things with wrenches if you want to make them more powerful.
But yes, the plot to kill Yogostein never really goes into effect.
Well, that's probably a good thing, because then the series continues.
Well, continues with Yogostein anyway. And that's important.
Yeah, they do get rid of Yogostein eventually after they kill off his gay lover.
Yeah, but, you know, we get several more episodes with Yogostein before that happens.
Yeah.
And that's good.
So weird.
So anyway, continue.
So eventually everyone all meets up together for the big, you know, oh, our bodies are swapped. We need to figure out what to do.
And of course it takes a while for the Go-Wangers to figure it out.
No, not really.
One Speedor sets them straight.
Yeah, which is something that we should bring up here, is that in Go-Wanger, all the cells, they're characters of their own.
Yeah, that was my favorite part of Go-Wanger.
Yeah, so it doubles your cast size, so you get a lot more character interactions between people.
And by the time all of the engines have shown up, it more than doubles the cast.
Yeah.
Well, except for the last three. But they don't count.
They get subtitled when it's important.
Like I did like the little avatar things they projected whenever they talked to the engines, though.
Yeah, and they looked really good, too, I thought.
Yeah. Well, maybe it was just because they were mostly transparent and you couldn't see how bad the CGI really was.
I think Jumbo Whale had the best one, though.
With the mustache?
And the hat?
Yes.
All of the engine avatars were really good. Back when Go-Wanger was airing, with every new version of the end theme, it was cutting out the CGI focus one and using that as an avatar, an animated avatar.
Those were good avatars.
Yeah. I loved my dancing engines. Plus, I love that series of themes, or end themes.
That is the best end theme series of all time.
It's pretty good.
So, the Bankei realizes that since he's in Sosuke's body, that he can use the Morpher.
Yes. So, let's go on.
So, he morphs, and Sosuke decides, I'm not having any more of this shit. And so he teams up with the rest of the Go-Wangers, and he slaps the big old number one on his chest.
Yeah! Right over the Gaiark insignia. And then they do a roll call with Sosuke Bankei.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the entire reason I wanted to do this episode.
Yeah.
Just for that one scene. I pick the best stuff.
Sometimes. Sometimes you pick f***ing Master
or Armored Heroes.
Well, or Turbo.
Now, in my defense, I didn't know Armor Hero was that bad when I picked it. I mean, I've recognized that fact afterward, and we haven't watched any more of it, have we? Even though they're doing a whole
Damn
second series of it. You know they're doing a second series of Armor Hero?
Well, the thing is, in China, they're communists. They don't have freedom of choice. They can't choose not to watch it. They have to watch it.
What I really want to find, though, is someone subtitling that CGI cartoon based on the Power Rangers knockoffs.
I'm surprised someone hasn't already.
Probably hard to get raws of it, you know, being from China and all.
Actually, no, there are raws of it all over the place. I think it's more of a problem of no one wants to sub it.
Well, yeah, I mean, finding people into that who speak Chinese fluently enough to accurately subtitle can't be easy.
And who care enough to do subtitle work.
Well, that kind of goes along with what I said, doesn't it?
And on that show, which is probably as bad as Armor Hero.
See, it's probably not very good.
Well, it's hilarious at least once. Until the novelty of the concept wears off. But I mean, who doesn't want a TV show made of dollar store knockoffs? So,
anyway. The gang has to figure out how to get Sosuke's brain back into his body. So, what's the best way to do that?
I say use a gun.
Let's shoot his face into the monster.
Yeah, all the engines get together and produce the Sosuke Soul.
And of course it works.
Which sadly did not have a cartoony image of Sosuke's face on the label.
That would have been great. But still, at least they load it into the gun and they shoot a flaming Sosuke head at the Red Ranger.
And it works, too. That's the crazy
and
part.
And Sosuke's even able to get rid of his cold.
Yeah, he left his cold in the Bankai body.
Which Don't ask me how that works.
I was going to say, if they just switched minds, how did he leave the cold behind in there?
How'd the cold transfer over in the first place?
Right.
Could be infectious burning justice.
Something was infectious.
A wizard did it. So anyway.
I love this ship so much.
Well, what I like about Goanger is that there's not just one super weapon, there's two.
And it combines into another bigger super weapon.
Yeah, but I mean, it's great that there's a second super weapon that doesn't require, you know, a red.
Yeah.
Well, actually, a lot of the series have them. It's just usually a toy-only thing.
Yeah, they never use them.
I'm Mega Ranger. Ranger toys had them.
Did they?
Yes, the power daggers could mount onto the side of the power axe's gun barrel, and the power sword could connect little tabs on the end of the power sword's handle, could snap onto the middle of the power bow.
For a bow that shoots swords? That's awesome.
And also the weapons from Zeo had combined forms as well.
And of course in space there was only the combined four weapon.
Yeah.
There wasn't a combined weapon. Yeah.
Yeah.
But still it's uncommon.
Well, for it to be done in the actual show, yes. But it was pretty standard with the toys. Even the Gosager weapons.
Well, let's not talk about Gosager when we're talking about something so nice.
Well,
we got Goanger to talk about.
Yeah.
Well, this was... I'm talking about the toys.
Fort Max.
Shh.
You're continuing to talk about it.
Shh.
Okay, so...
then we get the Zord
fight
with...
the engine casts.
With engine G6, which is probably the weakest combination in my mind.
Especially when you get to the toys.
Yeah.
As much as I love Goanger, I do have to admit that the Zord combinations weren't really the greatest.
Well, see, they were purposely trying to do something different with Goanger, where all the parts of all the mecha were used in all the combinations.
True, but some of the design choices made it more than a little awkward and unwieldy, such as the giant gator shoes. That just doesn't really work for anything.
Well, I'm sure it works better for the bigger combinations when it feet.
Except by that point, he's not walking around anyway, so what's the point of them?
To have proportionate feet that you don't use.
I suppose.
To kick them with. Where it looks like it's being pulled up by a string.
Oh, Sentai, never change. And it doesn't. So yeah, that was an episode of Goanger.
I wish I had one of their coats.
Well, back in 2008, you could have bought one.
Yeah, for about $300. I don't want one that badly.
Well, and see, during Geki Ranger, I wanted the Geki Violet's leather jacket, too. Because that was a nice jacket.
Not as good as the Marvelous coat.
Of course, Geki Violet tended to wear that as a shirt.
Of course, you can also buy the Episode 1000 boxers.
I don't really have my bum rubbed all over Kamen Rider merchandise. Maybe y'all do. I don't know.
What?
Am I buzzing?
Try it again.
It's not important.
Okay.
What is important is how awesome the Goanger's dance is at the end of the episode.
Well, it ties back into the awesome end theme.
Why don't more Sentai teams do that dance?
Because they're not the Goangers, sadly.
Yeah.
They got the Shinkengers to do it once.
Just for the movie.
Maybe the Gokaigers will do it.
Yeah, when they meet the Goangers, that will be what they have to learn from them. The dance.
Yes. And how to throw an orange.
Yeah, what was with throwing around an orange? I mean, that's one of those things that after, you know, 50 episodes, you stop really paying attention to, but it's still like, okay, why are they throwing an orange?
Yeah, I also missed the thing that Goander had at the very end of the very episode where they had the trivia question.
Yeah. With the answers that often made no sense.
Yes.
Or didn't even relate to the question, really.
Really?
Yeah, they kind of stopped doing that after Goander.
Did they do that in previous series?
Geki Ranger had something similar. The Beast Fist Academy segment where it would explain something that was in the attached episode. Like how the Geki Changers work.
I Beast Fisted your mom.
Yeah. And much like your mom, the Geki Changers have an infinite storage. So, next week... What's next week?
I don't suppose you'd let me choose.
No, it's already been decided. I just don't remember.
I'm checking now.
Besides Barricade, why do you want to choose what's going to be on next week when you won't be here?
Oh, snap.
Because I want you to suffer.
Okay, time for episode Quantum Quest.
Ah, yes.
I was going to go for Yo, Another Song and Dance.
We did that already.
Yeah, don't you listen to the show?
I probably wasn't listening at that point.
Well, screw you. See if I ever invite you in again.
I didn't watch that either when we watched it.
You're better off.
My Which perfect Jason record of never seeing an episode of Zio continues.
What'd you say, Mickey?
I said my perfect record of never seeing an episode of Zio continues.
Really?
Yep.
Weird. But yeah, next week we get to watch something good on a similar level to Goanger, which is the introduction of Time Force's Big Red Dick.
I believe its name was Eric, wasn't it?
Well, wait, which Big Red Dick? The one from the present or the one from the future?
The one from the present.
One with lightning bolts on it.
I don't know which Time Force y'all watched.
I've been waiting all day to make that joke. Yes, that's how sad my day was today.
You mapped out your dick jokes ahead of time.
Just like your mom. So yeah, what? Next week we're watching Time Force.
Yay.
Yeah, that'll
and
be good.
And the week after, we're watching Time Force.
We're watching twice the Time Force next time.
Time for Time Force?
Double time.
I'm Time for.
Overtime.
Double. It'll be double time when Excel comes out. Excel. I bet we'll have that to talk about next week too.
And then the week after that we have Saturday Morning Invasion.
What's that?
What?
What?
By which I mean Kamen Rider J.
How is that Saturday Morning Invasion?
That's the episode of Saban's Masked Rider that used Kamen Rider J footage.
So you would think I would know something like that since I make this pretense of being all Saban's Masked Rider obsessed. I don't think I've ever even seen that episode of Saban's Masked Rider. But yeah, we'll talk more about the week after next week. After next week. What? We'll talk more about May when we're closer to May. Just so I don't sound stupid.
Sure.
You're on the show.
Yeah.
You run the show.
Barricade asked to come on the show. What does it say about him?
You guys show up weekly. I only show up occasionally.
Yeah, but if I would let you, you'd show up. You'd show up more than we do if I would let you. Notice he doesn't. Notice he doesn't dispute that.
Yeah, and there was one time where there was one guest host that I suggested, and well, he's smarter than all of us.
And he will never be invited to guest host again. See, Barricade's just overcompensating because before the first time he came on, I told him I would come and break his kneecaps if he flaked out on us. I did, really.
Yep.
So
kneecap still intact.
So, you know, he's just making sure that I don't get the idea to come kneecap him again by trying to get on the show more yet. Of course, I think that's harming different parts of you than your kneecaps.
I've seen the room. My mind is gone.
Speaking of harming parts of us, I've harmed part of my brain by watching part of Car Ranger versus O-Ranger.
I guess I could watch that at some point. So I probably won't.
It's wacky.
That was Car Ranger.
Save it for the next crossover one.
It's better than Turbo, that's for sure.
What is it?
Ghostager?
Well, there I like the second half of Turbo.
Yeah. Yeah, when Judd, it was much better when Judd Lynn started taking over.
No, I'd actually say Ghostager was better than Turbo.
Ouch.
Yeah, really. I don't know, the first half of Turbo I could almost agree with.
Mostly because Ghostager's Zords were better than Turbo.
And, you know, the first half of Turbo had the lesser Divatox.
Yeah.
Even the lesser Divatox is better than What's-His-Ass from Ghostager.
Which one?
I can't remember what his name was now.
I think that was all of them, Fort Max.
Brazilla.
Yes. Bad Divatox is better than Brazilla.
You know, if they bring him back for the crossover movie, will he have a sidekick named Brazuki?
Oh, my.
They did bring him back for... Well, they did have him in one of the crossover movies already as... they did inherit some of the powers from the Sanzu River and the Ghostager crossover with Shinkinger, so...
So what did he become then? Blade Run of the Undead?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Blade Run Dead.
Yeah, maybe we should watch Ghostager versus Shinkinger at some point.
Q.
Well, here's the thing. It has Ghostager, but it also has Shinkinger. And it has Gokaiger.
Ice cream and shit metaphor. That's all that really matters.
Yeah, that seems to be coming up a lot more often since you first... I've even seen it on Twitter from an independent party.
Yeah, I didn't make it up. I mean, I don't remember
The first time I heard it was when you mentioned it the first time.
And then you've heard from multiple places since then?
At least one other place. But, you know, one other place that isn't associated with us. Which is almost every place. Nobody wants to associate with
class.
Us. Yeah. Any place with class, we can't get in.
Yeah. Though at least one thing that it has, this thing has is, of course, the Shinkinger's opinions of the Ghostager throughout most of the movie as well. Pretty much what we have.
The difference being is by the end of the movie, they all change their mind and like them. And therefore, the Ghostagers corrupt Shinkinger as well.
Well, you know, if the Ghostagers would have done something right along the way, we might have changed our opinions and liked them by the end, too. Like, you know, if they had all chosen to die in the last episode.
Well, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts.
Well, here's the thing. The Shinkingers probably did whatever would get them away, get them out of their hair the fastest.
So they pretended not to have any problems for the Ghostagers to butt into?
We're all fine here. Fine. Thank you. How are you?
Nothing to see here. Move along.
Move along. These aren't the Sentai you're looking for.
Well, I suppose that's our show for this week.
That's okay, good, because the thunder is rising.
Yeah, and you said you had to be gone by 10 anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope that's not a euphemism.
What?
Which one, Paladin?
Yes.
I'm not even sure how you have to be gone by 10 even works as a euphemism.
Somebody will find a way.
Well, Mickey can tell us all about it next week.
I'll fill you in.
That's a euphemism, too.
Everything on the show is a euphemism.
Your mother's
especially
a euphemism.
You.
Unfortunate euphemism.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time, except for Barricade, who probably won't be here.
And Nixfee won't be here if his power goes out again.
Well, there was a thunderstorm today, and I still have electricity, so I think we're doing better.
And I have the Reveal the Shield Legends on the way.
I've got the Megatron. I'm set.
Yeah, that's all I want, too.
You know, you should edit the show so it cuts out just as you're talking about having electricity.
That's not a terrible idea, either.
Do eat.
I may. We'll see what I can do. I think I've got a slowdown button in the editor.
So no, let's get like... the power off noise from the end of MST3K. Let's shut off the TV.
But yeah, that Megatron's right. The only thing I care about from those legends too, because Lugnut needs a gun.
All right, I need to log out here, so I'll see you guys later.
All right, okay. don't get hit.
See ya.
Later.
See you next time.
See ya.
See ya.
This has been Superhero Time with your hosts, XV, Hey Mickey, Paladin, and Fort Max. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.
I think he's still there.